We continue our series, Fired Up, and this morning we're looking at Knocked Off Your Horse, the story of Paul's conversion, and we are in Acts chapter 9, verses 1 through 19. Meanwhile, Saul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and asked him for letters to the synagogue at Damascus so that if he found any who belonged to the way, men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. Now, as he was going along the way and approaching Damascus, suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. He fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" He asked, "Who are you, Lord?" The reply came, "I am Jesus whom you are persecuting. But get up and enter the city, and you will be told what you are to do." The men who were traveling with him stood speechless because they heard the voice but saw no one. Saul got up from the ground, and though his eyes were open, he could see nothing. So they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. For 3 days he was without sight and neither ate nor drank. Now there was a disciple in Damascus named Ananias, and the Lord said to him in a vision, "Ananias." He answered, "Here I am, Lord." And the Lord said to him, "Get up and go to the street called Straight, and at the house of Judas look for a man of Tarsus called Saul. At this moment he was praying, and he was seen in a vision a man named Ananias come in and lay his hands on him so that he might regain his sight. But Ananias answered, "Lord, I have heard from many about this man, how much evil he has done to the saints in Jerusalem. And here he has authority from the chief priests to bind all who invoke your name." But the Lord said to him, "Go, for he is an instrument whom I have chosen to bring my name before the Gentiles and kings and before the people of Israel. I myself will show him how much he must suffer for the sake of my name." So Ananias went and entered the house. He laid his hands on Saul and said, "Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the way here, has sent me so that you might regain your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit." And immediately something like scales fell from his eyes, and his sight was restored. Then he got up and was baptized, and after taking some food, he regained his strength. May the Lord bless his word to our hearts and minds this morning. Well, as I said, we're looking at Knocked Off Your Horse this morning. Heard about this pastor who got a horse. And since he was a pastor, and the horse was really a gift and a blessing from God, he decided what he's going to do is to make the commands kind of religious. And so what he decided he'd do is that he would use hallelujah for woe, and for giddy up, he'd use praise to the Lord. So when he'd say hallelujah, the horse would stop, and then when he said praise the Lord, the horse would take off. And so one day the pastor's out riding the horse in the countryside, and the horse got spooked and started running, you know, as fast as the horse could towards this cliff. And the pastor absolutely panicked, and he forgot the commands. And so he yelled glory and amen, and nothing happened. He didn't know what to do. And so finally, at the last moment, just before the cliff, he said hallelujah. And the horse sort of screeched to a stop right at the edge of the cliff. And the pastor breathed a sigh of relief and said, "Praise the Lord." Oh, yeah. So, well, we're looking at Paul on a horse to Damascus this morning, and we're thinking about Knocked Off Your Horse, and maybe how it applies to our life, hopefully how it applies to our lives as well. And I've been asking you throughout this series on Acts, which is the story of the early church and the power of the Holy Spirit working through the early church, the way that we should. Luke really recorded this to revive the church, which was always sort of fading in its enthusiasm and passion, to revive them and to remind them of what God continued to do through the Holy Spirit. And of course, it's addressed to lover of God, Theophilus. So, and I've asked you three questions to continue to ask yourself. And the first is, what is my level of passion? What is your level of passion? And then, what are the gifts that I bring? All of us have gifts and talents that God has blessed, and that we can work in the church and outside the church for God. And then what is my level of resilience? What is my ability to bounce back over challenge and adversity that besets me, because all of us will in life? So what is your level of passion? What are the gifts that God has given you to share? And what is your level of resilience through the power of the Holy Spirit? And so with that, I invite you to walk back into the story. Last week, we looked at Stephen, the first martyr in the Christian church, and Stephen's short but dynamic life. By the way, he was a young person, and he was the first deacon named. Deacon meaning server, serving the widows and the orphans and the poor, and doing a lot of other things as well. And people got up against him because he was doing these good things. Don't you know sometimes when you're doing good things that everything doesn't go well for you? And Stephen was dragged before the authorities, and he didn't back down. He didn't back down. He didn't bow down. He shared his testimony in a tremendous way, and they were so angry at his testimony, which is a beautiful testimony, very well informed, sort of a summary of Scripture, and you could tell he'd been studying God's Word, and they drug him outside the city, and they began to stone him to death, and we're told that Stephen looked up into the heavens and saw Jesus, and that his face shone with the presence of Jesus. And I reminded all of us that sometimes when we face the worst chapter of life and the final chapter of life between this life and the next, that sometimes the heavens open up and Jesus is there. And regardless, Jesus is there. And sometimes our face just glows with the presence of Christ. And for all of us, as we worship Sunday morning, we ought to be in the presence of Christ. We ought to be lifted up by God's presence so that we go forth from here. The power of the Holy Spirit and the love of Christ shines from our faces. And I said that the people laid their clothes, their coats at the feet of Paul the Apostle. And Paul did nothing. And sometimes, as Martin Luther King Jr. said, all that needs to be done for evil to prevail is for good men and women to do nothing. And Paul did nothing. Might have even encouraged him, probably did. But Paul saw Stephen's boldness, his courage, his faith, indeed his love, because the last words that Stephen spoke were looking up to Christ and said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Very much echoing Jesus' words from the cross. What a powerful, dynamic testimony. And that had to impact Paul the Apostle, who was standing there. And I said, echoing what many church historians have said down through the ages, is that everything the Apostle Paul ever accomplished stands on the shoulders of Stephen. Stephen was a deacon, but all of us have a ministry before the Lord. So find your lane. Use your gifts and talents. Stephen did. Stephen had a level of passion that was unmatched in the early church, even by the apostles. Stephen had the kind of gifts and talents that he was willing to love and serve wherever he could do that. And Stephen had a level of resilience, able to face challenge and adversity. And because of his testimony, that seed was planted in a powerful way in the life of the Apostle Paul. So every letter that Paul ever wrote, every church that Paul ever founded, every sermon that Paul ever preached stands on the shoulders of Stephen. Whose life are you impacting today? Whether you're young or old, lay or clergy, it doesn't matter. We all have the ability to be on fire by the power of the Holy Spirit that transforms our lives. And so we don't know exactly what was going through Paul's mind, but Paul went to the high priest and asked for letters that he could go to Damascus and to drag some of the Christians there back to be tried. And they were called the Way. That was the first name, by the way, of the church, the Way, the Way. We'll be looking at the Gospel of Mark this coming fall and through the winter season. And Mark's famous word that you see in there all the time in Mark is along the way, the way. The way ends up being the way of the cross, the way of Jesus. And they were called men and women of the way. And so Paul went to Damascus on his horse, we're told. Doesn't say it here, but we're told that a number of places in church history and Paul's letter as well. And suddenly, Paul was knocked off his horse. Man. Saul, by the way, at this time, not Paul, Saul at this time was knocked off his horse by a blinding light that was the vision of a risen and powerful Lord. I wondered, maybe like the one that John saw in the book of Revelation, the risen and powerful Lord. And this voice saying, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? Why do you buck against the goads? Why do you buck against what God is trying to do to move you forward on the horse and the way of life?" Paul had been persecuting Christians, believing they were false and were against God. And Paul, in that moment, just had to think, upside down, I'm on the wrong way, doing the wrong thing. But have you ever been that place in life? You think you got it all figured out? You think that, you know, God is your right-hand person rather than the other way around, right? You got the plan, you got the purpose, rather than listening for God's plan and purpose, and you feel pretty high and mighty. And then life comes along. Life has a way of knocking us down. And many times God uses that moment. Sometimes God creates that moment in different ways. But we get knocked off our horse like Saul, who would become the Apostle Paul. And Saul is blinded. Instead of seeing and having his face lit up like Stephen, Saul is blinded. He can't see. So not only is he knocked off his horse, he's humbled, because what happens when you can't see? Someone's got to lead you on the way. Man, don't you hate that? When that happens in life, someone's going to tell you what to do and where to go. And Saul was not that kind of a guy. So he goes to Damascus. He stays for 3 days. And he's like having this revolution in his head. Like, what am I doing? I was on the wrong way. I was on the wrong horse. I needed to knock off my horse, and now I can't see. So the testimony and life of Stephen, his legacy, Saul being knocked off his horse, and then Paul, from Saul to Paul. Meanwhile, God speaks to Ananias, one of the disciples, early Christian disciples in Damascus. And in the sort of dream, when Ananias is praying, having his devotions, God speaks to him. And God says, I have someone I want you to go heal. His name is Saul. And Ananias says, wait a second. I've heard about this guy. Everybody has. As a Christian, he's coming to persecute people and maybe even have them become martyrs in the church. And the Lord says, no, that's the old Saul. I have a new calling for Paul. I've transformed his life. I myself will show him what he must do and the challenges he must overcome. But your job is to go and to lay your hands on him and to heal him from blindness. Wow. How many people believe that Jesus could have just appeared to Paul again and healed his blindness? Anyone out there? You think so? Jesus made him blind. You think Jesus could have healed him from blindness? Yeah, I do too. Why do you think Jesus used Ananias? Well, Jesus didn't tell me, but I think I got a pretty good answer. It's all throughout the book of Acts, because God is alive and well through the Holy Spirit in the church. And Jesus wasn't here just to do it all. He accomplished what he came for. He has some work for you to do and for me to do. And not just sitting Sunday morning singing hymns. Not just staying in the holy huddle, but to go out into the world and to change the world. Not just the pastors or even the deacons and elders' job. It's the ministry of the church to be a team. This is just coach time. This is just worship time. This is just, you know, let's get it together and go out and do something time here. And if it's just, you know, this listening, then the church will never be the church. The church will never be the church. Not that Jesus intended. Not that our Creator intended. And that is what the book of Acts is about. So Jesus spoke to Ananias. And how many know what also was at play to that? Because even better than Jesus healing Paul in an instant, was that was a message to the early church that this chief disciple by the name of Ananias was going to Saul. And there's something else. Because when the door opened and the Apostle Paul somehow was there blinded, what did Ananias say? You murderer, you persecutor, you killer, Paul? No. He said, brother Paul, brother, sister, fellow Christian. Because God was at work in something new in Paul's life. Paul wasn't a prisoner of the past, and neither are you, and neither am I. I might feel that way sometimes, for all the hurts and hardship, wrongs of the past. But God is still at work through the power of the Holy Spirit. And so Ananias lays his hands on Paul and that ministry and prays, and Paul is healed as he says, "Brother Paul, brother, a member of the church family." When we have new people in church, what, do you treat them like brother, sister? Or is it like you got to earn it to get here? In this moment, Ananias extends a handshake of fellowship and brotherhood, a transforming power that you're part of the church of Jesus Christ, and this thing has taken over the world by the good news of God's love and the power of the Holy Spirit. And Paul's life is transformed in that moment, and he sees. He not only sees physically, but he sees spiritually. Now, he still has some things to work out. He would take 3 years somewhere in the desert there to kind of pray and learn and read scripture and rethink things. But Paul, in this moment, sees something new, new vision, new plan. Not just the vision of Jesus, but the vision of the church and the working of the gifts of the Spirit in that moment. Because Ananias also has a level of passion, is sharing his gifts and talents, and has some resilience to overcome the adversity of the chief persecutor of the church and realizing that God is doing something new in his life. Wow. What a powerful moment in the history of the church. The impact of Stephen, the first deacon, the first martyr of the church, a young person, by the way, touching Paul's life, who is then touched by a vision of Jesus, who is blinded, feels like he's going backwards, and then healed by Ananias, and God is at work in all of that. And sometimes when we find ourselves in a moment where we're sick or we're facing challenge and adversity and we feel like we got knocked off our horse, maybe God is at work in that moment and we need to pray and we need to listen to the voice, to the whisper of the Holy Spirit, what God is doing new. And maybe when we see that happen in someone else's life, we need to just pause and pray for them and realize that Jesus is whispering to them and Jesus is working and Jesus is giving a new vision and the power of the Holy Spirit is at work in their life too. God changed Paul's life in such a powerful and dramatic way that only a name change would fit, from Saul to Paul. Throwing away the past, being forgiven, being transformed by a new vision, a new heart, a new life. Don't you know that God has loved to do that from the beginning of time? Abram's life and name was changed from Abram to Abraham. Sarah's from Sarai to Sarah. It took a long time for the promise. Jacob's name was changed from deceiver to Israel, the prince. The calling of the new people of God. And Simon, Sandy Slippery Simon, like shifting sand, was turned to Peter, the rock, by the power of the Holy Spirit and the love and grace of Almighty God. So today, if you think that whatever you're facing, that God isn't working through, then maybe we need to push pause and read about Paul, not just his history, but is that God is still at work in the church. And if you think your past is too dark to change, too many sins to be forgiven, too much hurt to overcome and heal, then look at these stories in the Bible. As God forgives the past and transforms it and uses it towards the future. I'm going to close with this thought, which is we go back in church history to the early 1800s. And a young boy by the name of John Newton. His mother, whom he deeply loved when he was 10 years old, passed away. His father remarried, and he hated his stepmom. And his father was a real military disciplinarian, and he was furious at young John. And so he sent him away to a military school at 10 years old. Well, young John hated discipline and rebelled, but he did learn some navigation skills, some other kinds of military things, and finally, he ran away from military school, ended up on the coast of Africa, and made a fire, and a slave ship saw him and pulled in and found out, wasn't sure what they're going to do with him, but found out that he had navigation skills, and so he became the navigator for the ship, for slave ship, running slaves from there throughout the Europe and the Americas. Horrible thing to sell people into slavery. And he became a drunk. He drank, he incited a number of mutinies, and one day, the captain was so furious at him for what he had done in inciting a mutiny that he threw him overboard, was going to kill him, make him drown in the sea. But then he realized that he needed a navigator to find the way back to port. And so the captain harpooned him, and pulled him ashore. And so wounded, drunk, he was thrown into the brig of the ship, there with the slaves who were working the oars of the ship. And in the night sky, he was completely broken. And he looked up through the cracks in the floorboard of the ship. And he remembered his mother's prayer from long ago. And so he cried out to the God of his mother and said, "Please save me." And in that moment, his life was transformed. God began to do amazing things in his life. He became a pastor. He married his childhood sweetheart. And he blessed people. And he's the one who wrote the words to the hymn we sang, "Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound." It saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, now I see. God worked through his life just like he worked through Peter's life, from Simon to Peter, and from Saul's life, from Saul to Paul. Knocked off his high horse, but God's at work, because nothing is impossible with God. So today, if your life seems like it's shipwrecked, or you've been knocked off your horse, then maybe look up. That Jesus is whispering to you, and that the vision of Jesus can change everything. And that God is still at work, healing, giving new vision, filling us with the Holy Spirit, and together, as the family of faith, that God is working through us. And know this, that no wrong of the past, no broken and hurt of the past is too big for an almighty God who loves us, who died on the cross for us, who saves us, forgives us, restores us, gives us a future, and guides us there in the darkest night through the power of the Holy Spirit and the light of God's love. Will you join me in prayer? Lord, we thank you for this powerful moment in the life of the church and in Saul as he is turned into Paul. And we look at our own lives, and sometimes we throw up our hands and wonder how you're at work. But we know that you are. We know that you're the God who loves and heals and forgives and restores and renews and has a plan and purpose for the future. So, Lord, help us to look up to you, to see the vision. Help us, if we feel blind, to know that you will heal us and show us the way. Help us to become the church that you would have us be. Help us to be the people that you would have us be, through the love of Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit. And all God's people said, amen.